It's time for Trackside Tonight with Randy Dyke, Joe Linebarrier, and Billy Osper. Trackside Tonight is brought to you by Daytona Dodge and Chrysler, DeLand Motorsports, Mopar Speed Shop, Volusia Speedway Park, and by Valvoline. To get in the action, call 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. Now, here's Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Kenny Orange, winner of the 2007 World 100, and you're listening to Trackside Tonight.
You heard it, ladies and gentlemen. Trackside Tonight, Jimmy Owens out of the great state of Tennessee lets everybody know where you are tuned tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, you are tuned to Florida's longest-running motorsports radio program right here in Daytona Beach, Florida. We want you to be a part of the action as well. We want you to call us, folks, 386-239-0033. Say toll-free call for you at 800-927-0033, or AT&T wireless customers, you can reach us at absolutely free at star 1150. We're also heard on WNDB.am on the World Wide Web, and our good friends with RealRacingUSA.com. Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Linebarrier, and it is certainly a pleasure to be with you. Randy Dye, our patriarch, is on his way back from Augusta National up in the great state of Georgia. But with me here tonight, a young man that we are certainly glad is back. I'd like to welcome back my very best friend, and here on Trackside tonight, Billy the Kid. Billy, welcome back.
What's up, man?
Dude, I tell you, Randy and I had already committed ourselves to doing this program by ourselves in the future. And I got to say, we were up for the challenge. But, buddy, now that you're back in that chair, all is right with the world. The planets have aligned.
Well, the radio land was calling me, said you guys are messing everything up. Oh, yeah. Come home, come home, come home. So here I am.
We are certainly glad you're home, Billy. We want to hear all about your excursion, if you will, and everything that happened up in Crossville, Tennessee, a great venture that, of course, we've touched on last week. But certainly want to get your take on it. You've already been on the tour of radio programs throughout the last week. But the most important thing, you're back home with us here on Trackside tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad to be home. It's one of them deals that just didn't work out. You know, I might have jumped in at both feet for it, but I was ready to go, and I was assuming that it was a done deal. And when we got there, a lot of things wasn't put together the way they promised them they'd put it together for us. So when it came down to doing the deal, the gentleman I was involved with decided that maybe it wasn't the best thing for us right now. So here I am home.
Yeah, we're certainly glad of that. And just couldn't be happier. Get you back out of Volusia, and my life would be perfect.
Today is Monday, and I'm like, man, got to get somebody for the show.
Oh, and we got somebody.
Oh, man.
Folks, let me tell you.
We got a big one.
It is indeed a big one, an all-star lineup, and let me just touch on it real quick. Of course, the Lucas Oil Late Model Series ran at Screven Speedway on Friday night. Billy was actually at that event. We're going to hear all about that. And that's where the Silver Shark out of Bright, Indiana, Scott James in the Jampal Motorsports number 83 picked up the win. Scott James, of course, very familiar with Daytona Beach, runs with us each and every Dirt Car Nationals, but we're looking forward to hearing from Scott James tonight. Then, of course, the Lucas Oil Series rolled over to Golden Isle Speedway, Frankie Lloyd's Speed Plant in Brunswick, Georgia, and that was scheduled for Saturday night. Well, weather was the big story throughout the entire Southeast. They rescheduled that, started that one last evening, where the two-time Lucas Oil Late Model Series champion out of Jacksonville, Florida, in the Bobby Labonte Motorsports number 44, the lifelong locks entry, Earl Pearson Jr. picked up the win. Scott Blomquist led every lap except the last one, and that's where Earl Pearson Jr. Just started going to work with five laps to go, but we will talk to Earl Pearson Jr. tonight. Also, Farmer City Speedway, our good friends with the World of Outlaws late models, were out there and making nine victories in 2008. Just an amazing run for this guy. Of course, a champion of the World of Outlaws late models. We will talk to Batesville, Arkansas's Mr. Smooth, Billy Moyer.
Man, it's a big show tonight. Going to get Billy on the radio here with us early in the show, and then have Scott James, and today's Earl Pearson Jr.'s little boy. Today's his birthday, so we're going to get him on about 8:45. But, man, what a host of a show we have. And, you know, the biggest thing was, I was at Screven Friday night. Man, this place is unbelievable. This Screven Motor Speedway, if you've never been there, you take 95 north to 27 or 21, I think it is, 21. You go north, it's about 35 miles up. It's $20 to get in. You pull up, they have a little gate. The lady asks you how many in your car. You tell her it's $20 a head, and she says, enjoy your time.
Yeah.
You go anywhere in the place you want to go for $20.
And they have a drag strip. You're talking about anywhere you want to go. Volusia Speedway Park, during the Dirt Car Nationals and the Speed Weeks, used to give you an opportunity to walk to the asphalt track, 100 yards away, go to the dirt track, one low price. Screven does it every time they race.
Every time they race, it's $20. You go to the back straightaway to the pit area. You can go to the front straightaway, sit in the grandstand, or you can walk over and watch the drag strip run. It's unbelievable. The first time I was there was last year for the Rebel Yell, and I say he had probably somewhere around 8,000 to 10,000 people in the gate, and I'd say Friday night he probably had somewhere around 5 or 6, so that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Now, despite we talked about weather, Golden Isles got rained out on Saturday. Volusia Speedway Park, we had the Florida Sprint Car Association. This is Auto Scrapes, guys. We had them scheduled for their first event of 2008 at our racetrack. We got rained out. East Bay tried. They got rained out. Ocala tried. They got rained out. So Lake City got rained out. Columbia Motorsports Park, Don Narone's new speed plant up there in Lake City, they got rained out. It was tough, but despite all of the weather, there was still a lot of racing in the southeast. We talked about the Lucas Oil Series at Screven, as well as Golden Isles, the Grand Prix of St. Pete. Big event right here for the IRL. We'll talk about that. Graham Rahal picking up his first victory, and now eclipsing Marco Andretti as the youngest driver by a couple of months now, ever, or by a few days, ever to win an IRL event. So that was really neat. The Grand Prix of St. Petersburg went very well. American Le Mans Series was there on Saturday. The IRL took the green flag at the street course downtown St. Petersburg. That was on Sunday. The Bahrain Grand Prix in Sakhir for my Formula One World Championship. And, you know, I'm so glad. I love Randy, but I'm glad he's not here because I can talk about F1.
Is this when we're supposed to go to commercial?
No, man, come on. Felipe Massa in the Ferrari picks up a big win. His teammate, Kimi Raikkonen, out of Finland, second in the Ferrari, 1 and 2. And then, of course, Kubica was third in his BMW Petronas. But a good race in itself right there. Cup Series was at Texas and on. Still a lot of racing.
Speaking of a big win, yesterday, last night, at Brunswick Golden Isle Speedway, Shane Williams won again. Local racer Shane Williams in the Triple X1 car. He was at Screven Friday night. Now, get this. He's at Screven going to run with the Lucas cars with his Sportsman motor. He did good. I mean, he did fine. Just what he assumed he was going to do. He went to Brunswick on Saturday, got rained out Saturday. So he shows up at Brunswick yesterday and won again. During the Super Bowl of Motorsports, he won 3 out of 4 there. He won opening night at Volusia Speedway Park. He won the Ken Kenny United Dirt Late Model Series. He won the opening night of that deal. This guy is in fuego. He is on fire. And he's a local racer here, and he's a Volusia Speedway Park regular. And I want to say, I know he listens to the show. Congratulations, Shane, and keep it up, buddy. But, Joe, yesterday's cup race, to me, wasn't too bad, but I didn't think it was all that great either.
Now, well, when you go to Texas, I mean, Texas is real close to Atlanta, and, of course, imitates a lot of other racetracks. It wasn't that great. I think what you can see here is kind of the car of today, the new race car, coming into its own, still just a bear to drive. I mean, talk to Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, still very critical about this new car. I mean, just a tough car to drive. But, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, the Roush number 99 of Carl Edwards, he got it done. It was amazing. And, you know, and there goes the signature backflip. It was pretty cool.
I saw where after the race that Ryan Newman's car was too high on one side, so I'm sure they're going to have penalties tomorrow or Wednesday. So I'm sure we're going to get the big 100-100 deal again.
Ryan Newman looking pretty stout. I mean, able to salvage a top 10. I think one of the big stories was, fourth, Clint Bowyer. Clint Bowyer got a little tangle there. Who did he tussle with on the last lap? Lost about 4 positions because of it. But, you know, the Jack Daniels car, he was running pretty strong before that happened, right out of turn 4.
He came in and got some tires with 2 to go, and he pretty much manhandled his way to the front, and somebody gave it back to him on a white flag lap.
Yeah, they really did. But, again, Cup at Texas. They're going to turn the lights on at Phoenix, and they're going to screw the short tracks next Saturday night, or they'll try to. No reason at all why they have to have lights at Phoenix Motor Speedway. I just don't understand that.
Well, I think the Saturday night deal at Phoenix will be a good show, as it always is. This Saturday will be something me and you won't get to see, but I'm used to that now.
We'll be back in action at Volusia. Of course, I've got to thank AR Machine. They're putting up $1,000 for our mini stock division, mini stock special. I don't know. We're going to run, 50 laps?
50 laps. Green flag. First 25 is going to be caution. They're going to count caution laps, and the last 25 will be all green flag. But I think it's going to be pretty good. This is a deal that they had put together. last year in November when me and you went to Charlotte,
yeah.
they were going to run it during the Enduro show. They got rained out, so they put it back on now. It's huge for the AR machine deal.
No doubt. Well, let's hear if our good friend Gene is in agreement with our small little short take on Texas. Gene, good evening.
Good evening. How are you guys doing?
We're good. What do you think? Earnhardt on the pole. I mean, that's a good thing.
Oh, yes. Yes. But my favorite was, do you know what my favorite was yesterday?
Listen, come on. I mean, what happened to him? I mean, I heard him talking about the car. He was like 200 laps down, wasn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he was quite a ways down. He couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Just mechanical failure or what?
It handled like a piece of junk for one thing. And he was disgusted because it was so bad, so he wanted to do it, make every adjustment they could, and he'd go back out on the track and see what it was like. That's why when he came out, he only went out a couple times and said, parked it, that was enough.
Wow. But his teammate, Jimmy Johnson, had no problems at all. I mean, he was able to solve it.
No problem. He didn't have any either, so.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I keep forgetting that Dale Earnhardt Jr. part of Hendrick.
Yeah, we're going to remember that now.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. All in all, not a bad race. I mean, relatively uneventful, but I mean, I don't know what people expect anymore. I really don't.
I don't know, but I mean, well, we like something more than the conga line, let's face it.
Yeah, but you know what, Gene? That seems to be what's happening on not only in the Cup Series nationwide, but every short track when there's asphalt involved, it's just unfortunate. That's what you're getting anymore.
I know, and that's not even a racing.
Nope. That's Kyle Busch had a good weekend. I mean, was able to finish in that third spot in his Toyota.
Yeah.
On the lead lap, Ryan Newman fourth, Denny Hamlin, Jeff Burton, Tony Stewart, Mark Martin, Matt Kenseth.
Mark Martin, that was so nice.
Yeah, it really was to see him run so well. Only 10 cars on the lead lap.
Yeah, I know. No, I think it was 11. I think because of the caution.
Oh, okay.
I think we had 11 on lead lap.
So they put Harvick on the lead lap. Okay.
No, right. It was only 10.
Now, how did Junior lose a lap?
Pardon?
How did Junior lose a lap?
Got his number.
He was only one down.
How did he lose a lap?
Yeah, I mean, he was only one lap down. I don't understand.
No,
like
God.
It was under green or what?
Had to be under green. Yes, it was under green.
I'll tell you, a good run for the Yates entry, David Gilliland. I mean, he started 41st
and
was able
15th.
To finish 15th. And here's a kid that, you know, despite what people say, maybe he was dropped into that ride a little bit early. Billy thinks he was. But, you know, I mean, they're so desperate. On the side of the car, sponsoryates.com.
Yeah.
I mean, they got a website, please.
Yeah.
And how can somebody not sponsor Robert Yates Racing?
Good question. Well,
we're seeing it.
Recent years, I guess that's what happened.
Yeah, unfortunate.
That's exactly what happened.
Your favorite driver, though, dead last.
I sent in $1. I sent $1 to that Robert Yates deal.
Oh, did you?
$1.
Oh,
I'm going to get my nipples on the car this week.
Oh, man. No, I was so happy when I found out that Mr. Gordon was going to finish 43rd. Yay! My granddaughter's going, oh, quiet down.
Who do we got on, man? I think Jimmy Jeep's on line 3.
Uh-oh.
Gene, we're gonna pot Jimmy up. Jimmy's right here with us. Jimmy, how are you, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Very good.
A little bit drier in my head.
Sorry you had to traverse through that torrential downpour out of Longwood. I know it was bad where you live, man.
Oh, Lake Mary, Kermit the Frog went by on a raft. It was so bad.
That's nothing. There is raining Kermit the Frogs at my house, buddy.
Well, it was good to get up there and meet Tanya.
And that's what I was going to say. I mean, that's the most important thing. She really is, and she's working very hard for the success of Volusia. And, of course, we had discussed some open dates for the Daytona Antique Auto Racing Association, and I remember them at Volusia when Dickie owned the track.
That's a free club.
Yeah, oh, yeah, dar. But, I mean, you know, when Dickie owned the track, you guys were a mainstay there. It was such a good show. But you guys have changed a little bit. Now you're actually running the different, you've always ran different divisions, but in the past, maybe, Jimmy, and you can correct me, but there weren't as many cars in the club. And now you've got enough cars to where you actually separate the divisions, run heat races and features. Is that right?
Yeah. We've got a good group of sprints, mainly out of Tampa area. And we also we have about 5 midgets running right now. 3 of them are flatheads, and that makes it interesting. You know, these cars are built in 1946, and see them out there running just as good now as they did back then.
You know, that's something I missed over the last couple of years is that your antique club I know it's a lot more guys are starting to get into it now, and you got a pretty good following. So if it does come back to Volusia Speedway Park, it'd be good to see all the guys again.
Well, they've been wanting to get back in there, and the club made a mistake quite a few years ago when Dickie had it. They had a rainstorm. They pulled out of the pit so they didn't get stuck, and a lot of them went home. And we ran the track that night, and Dickie was not very happy.
I'm sure he wasn't.
Yeah, but anyways, yeah, we're running this Saturday night down to Orlando, Speed World.
On Saturday night?
Yeah, this Saturday night. And but we do have a lot of people. We have over 400 and some members. I think we're one of the largest in the United States right now.
So it's growing.
Oh, very, you know, very much. And we get coverage in Binge Oval magazine. I do the articles for that. So we've been doing pretty good. But we always got room for more. We got, you know, we got kids as young as 20, or even their teens, and we have gentlemen running that are almost 80. So, you know, there's always room for everybody to run, and nobody gets run over.
It sounds like you have a lot of fun with that group every time you run.
Well, they're like family. You know, they took me over after I had my problems, and, you know, they're just a great bunch. You know, once in a while they aggravate you, but but we do have a lot of good cars in the classes, and six-cylinders and V8s, and so it's pretty good. Talking about some racing last weekend, I went down to Speed World Friday night and saw the fast car late mile race.
Yeah, that Sunbelt 125.
Yeah, and
I saw Timmy Russell won.
Tim won it, and David Rogers was second, and we got a short boost, you know, shot of rain, and that knocked us off the track. So, you know, instead of going, you know, let them wait around for five more laps and trying to run the rest, they called a little bit early. But David was right there, and he looked like his old style. He was, if anybody's seen David Rogers run over the years, you can't ask for a better driver.
Right. For David Rogers to run second, Timmy Russell, that had to bring back a lot of memories when David Russell was racing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And they had a, I'll tell you who's, they got a young kid who's grandson of Dave Jarrett. He runs one of our sprint cars. And he runs in that super stock class. And boy, what a smooth driver that kid is.
Huh. Well, they got to start somewhere.
Well, yeah, he's won a couple times this year. I see he didn't make inspection there Friday night, but young kid and boy, very smooth. So somebody to watch out for, hopefully in the future.
Sounds like it'll be a name we'll write down and keep an eye on him, and never know what goes on from here.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. But Bill, it's good to hear your voice.
I appreciate that.
And we've both been up and down the road this year. So.
Yeah, well, we'll get it all worked out sooner or later. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Most definitely. Well, anyways, I'll let you guys go. But
we appreciate you calling, as always, Jimmy G.
All right.
Jimmy.
Touch, guys.
We'll see you soon, man. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Thanks. All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, I was just checking the figures, guys.
Okay.
Mr. Good, who was only 215 laps behind.
Mr. Good. Good Lord. Come on, Gene.
Come on. Hey.
He's just getting it done. You know, he's just trying to.
Oh, yeah.
He's trying to fit in.
Yeah. I've heard all the fairy tales. Come on, I've been hearing them for years. No sale.
Just looking at the points, you got to be impressed with Jeff Burton.
Oh, well, yeah.
You know.
That doesn't bother me a bit, Jeff Burton, man, up there.
Earnhardt, solid in fourth. Tony Stewart, fifth. Then, of course, the Hendricks car, Jimmy Johnson. Yeah, man.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
not too bad.
Speaking of the race,
yeah.
I want to tell you, that's probably one of the worst wrecks I've ever seen on Friday.
Oh, yeah.
This kid is, and I'm sure everybody knows this, and this is probably beating a dead horse, this kid is so lucky.
Oh.
I'm driving down the road listening to it on Sirius Radio, and I hear him, and they're talking about, he hit the wall, then you hear him say, and he's flipping.
He's flipping.
When I seen it in the hotel room that night, I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, that was. And then to catch on fire to boot.
And to get out and hold his thumb up.
Yeah. That's what you call, well, did you guys listen to the show ahead of you tonight?
No. Nope.
Ricky Craven was on it.
Oh, yeah, I heard Ricky a little bit.
Yeah, and Ricky was describing his crash at Talladega.
Remember when he tore the fence down?
Oh, yeah.
I thought he was going out the park.
Yeah.
Oh, if it hadn't been for the fence, he'd have been long gone out of that park.
Right.
I mean, there have been some spectacular crashes, but I wouldn't want to be those guys the next morning. Ooh.
I seen a shirt this weekend at the races, and it said, "In our sport, if you leave the park, you ain't coming back."
Yeah, I'll never forget Jimmy Horton at Talladega. I'll never forget that. That was one of the most amazing wrecks I've ever seen. I mean, launched it out of turn number one, went down the hill. It was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. Unbelievable.
Gene, thank you so much. Of course, Phoenix coming up Saturday night. We want to talk to you next Monday right now.
Yeah.
Got a young man on the line we're going to hit checking in from Bright, Indiana. Thank you, Gene.
Oh, okay.
Thank you so much, honey.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And on the line right now with us, checking in from Bright, Indiana, the Silver Shark picking up a big win on Friday night at Screven Motor Speedway. Here's, ladies and gentlemen, the driver of the Jampow Motorsports number 83, Mr. Scott James. Scott, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing tonight?
Wonderful. Scott, first of all, my name is Joe Lineberrier. I'm the announcer at Volusia Speedway Park. We are also joined by Billy Osborne, who is the race director now, but has flagged many late model races with you in them. But we only get to see you for the most part in February. Billy went up to Screven Friday night, and to see you pick up that win, he was just so impressed. I mean, just an amazing job holding off the likes of, Babb on, Terry Casey.
Yeah. Terry Casey was actually a little bit further back. It was Jimmy Owens was second. Tim Doan was third, and Randy Weaver. But I will tell you, when Terry Casey took the green in the qualifying, and then I don't think you were in the same heat race as him, but he started third and went down turn one. He was leading the heat race, and the caution came out. Man, I thought Terry Casey was going to be unbeatable.
He did that for me Thursday night at Twainsboro.
Oh man.
So
I mean, don't get me wrong. You had him beat from the get go.
Yeah, we had a really good car Friday night at Scravens. It's the first time I ever seen the place. And
hold on, before you go any further,
okay.
Tell people about this place. I'm impressed with it. This is the second time I've been there, Scott, and I'm telling you what, that's a neat little place.
Well, it's kind of got its own personality. I got to give the promoter James a lot of credit for the way he treats the fans when they come to the place. When you get to the main gate, you pay. It was $20 to get in. And you sign the board for like a pit pass, and you got for $20 you get to watch the dirt race, go in the pits, go to the drag strip, watch the drag races for $20 for a 10,000-win Lucas Oil Show. I mean,
nice.
That's the precedence that should be set across the country for these places that have these big races. I mean, he packed the place. I'm sure he did good, and I wish more promoters would take heed of that and not price gouge, just especially the fans, because without the fans packed, we can't go racing.
Tell me about the racetrack.
Well, it's kind of it's real red clay. I mean, it's red as it's like trying to squeeze blood out of a turnip. It's pretty red, and I haven't got to race on tracks like that a whole bunch, because I'm from up here in Indiana where it's more like a regular clay. So, but the track itself's probably a little bigger than a quarter mile. It's very wide. It's probably got about 12 to 15 degree of banking, and it races a lot like East Bay,
right.
Where you go in the corner and you hit the brake and you mash the gas, and we've struggled on that this year, and we kind of just went back to some of our old notes. And Friday morning, I woke up and I said, "Look, we got to get back to what I know, works for me." And we had had some handling issues at places we should be winning and running good, and I was a little embarrassed at our performances. We had taken 5 provisionals and 5 Lucas races, and that just hasn't ever happened with me, And we just had to regroup, and from the word go on Friday, I felt like we had the car that could win the race.
From just from being there and watching it, and I thought I heard somebody in the stand say that's your second Lucas Oil win.
I think it's my fifth.
Your fifth one? I thought they might have been wrong. That's why I was questioning. But I didn't say anything because I didn't know who the person was. But I also noticed they didn't have a mic in Victory Lane. But I could see you was excited when you got up on the car. Just for that, what would you have said in Victory Lane? I mean, what else could you say? You beat the best in the world there.
They didn't get his man an interview?
They didn't have a wireless mic.
You're kidding me.
No.
I'd have done it, Scott. Don't you worry, my man.
They got him on TV, and they're trying to interview on TV, and the guy's on the PA talking now.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you got 10 grand anyway.
Well, yeah, I mean,
come on.
We're just, you never know when you're when you're going to get your next win. It's so competitive out here. And,
yeah.
You know, with Jimmy Owens, I mean, you look at the year he had last year. For me, I felt like I was chasing Jimmy Owens every race we went to last year. You know, he showed up. I ran second to him, like, I think, six times. You know, so he was the man to beat. We had a good car a lot of times, but he was just a tick better than me. So the other night, the shoe was on the other foot. You know, it kind of felt nice to know that,
yeah.
You know, with Jimmy behind me, I knew I didn't have a whole lot to worry about. He's such a clean racer.
No doubt.
That, you know, we had a caution with six laps to go, and I was like, well, if he's got anything more for me now, we're going to see what he's got.
He had one run at you, and that was it.
Yeah, that's what they said, and that was off of turn three or four, I guess, or something. And
he hit
Jimmy
that hole. He hit the hole in three one time when I thought he had a pretty good run, but he hit the hole and bounced up an extra groove, and then
right.
It was on like three to go, and it was over. Then you just drove off from me.
Yeah, I kind of found a better way to maneuver around that hole. I think a lot of guys, and I think just I had a good race car, which made it easier for me to. It was a pretty big hole, and I chose to go around it, and then as soon as I passed it. Just kind of miss it with my left rear tire, and
right.
It seemed to work for me pretty good.
From qualifying, watching the track during qualifying, from qualifying to the heat races, it was a complete different racetrack.
Yeah, it was. It changed a lot, but I'll be honest with you, it never slowed down that much.
No.
I had Bart Hartman on the stopwatch in the Conti, and he was running 14:50, and I
right.
qualified at a 14:02.
Right.
So you know. 3/10, I think, you know, we were in the top six qualifiers, so the track wasn't slowing down too much. So I just told my crew chief, Kenny, I said, I think we just need to leave the car alone and just kind of race the racetrack and not try to guess its setup,
you,
and it worked good.
If you watched it in qualifying, when you went off in 3 and 4, it was like peeling.
Oh, yeah.
And then
yeah.
they took the packer out there, or took the grader and some cars and packed it down, and it was a complete different racetrack.
Oh, it was a great racetrack. You know, I'm a firm believer that you know, if you work on your racetrack, you can give a good you know, have a good racing surface for us. You know, the fans get to see what they, you know, they paid to come to see. And you know, James did a great job of getting the racetrack ready for the racing. And you know, it was a great race. I hope it was for everybody else too.
You say James, and a lot of people don't understand who you're saying. We call him Red.
That's Red. Yep.
And
yeah.
Red, the first time I was there, I met Red, and I mean, he is unbelievable. He's in the right spot. Just where he is at Screven Motor Speedway, he fits in with everybody right there. And for that facility, he has done so much for that community and for the sport of racing, not only for the roundy round, but for the drag strip, too.
Right. Right. Well, I hope, you know, I hope the rumor is not true. I heard that the track was going a half a mile. I hope that is not true, because he's got a unique place there to where
oh, yeah.
he's got good racing. And I think, you know, there's too many half-mile tracks as there is. I think the best racing is on these quarter-mile racetracks, you
right.
know.
Well, I'll tell you, the banking, they just put that in there last year. It was like that when I went for the Rebel Yale. But I know I talked to some people that was there Saturday or Friday night that said it wasn't there last time they were there.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for it to be banked like it is, I think it's a unique little racetrack.
Oh, it's definitely nice, you know. I mean, you know, I can't say nothing bad about the place. You know, obviously I won, so it's hard to say anything bad about the place.
Yeah.
You got like 40 races before you get to your favorite around your hometown, Brownstown. Like 40 events if you're going to run all these Lucas deals.
Well, I ran the Lucas the last 3 years. We ran Brownstown last weekend, and we struggled the week before, you know, the icebreaker.
Right.
You know, we got the Jackson 100 coming up. I think they moved it to September this year, and the Lucas Oil Series has done a great job of going out and getting these big-name races. I know they got the North-South 100 this year, which
yep.
is only 30 minutes from me, and I've won. You know, we as a team have won every race over there except for the North-South, so you know, hopefully we can get that this year. And then they also got the Topless 100 at Batesville. So the series is strong. The corporate sponsorship is strong with the series. And you know, it's a series of grown series, you know, and they're doing it like baby steps, and they're building a great series, and I think the fans are getting to see a lot of that.
And with Lucas, the Lucas family's involvement in not only dirt late model racing, but all forms of motorsports, it seems like today, I mean, their commitment is indeed, it's true. And I mean, they're definitely focused on you guys, the competitors, as well as the overall program. So that was my next question. I mean, you answered it already. You're obviously happy with the Lucas deal.
Oh, yeah. You know, they came up with this concept called Team Lucas, and Jamie Devney is the head of it. He's the guy that runs all that, and he's gone out and gotten all these corporate companies together, from Jim Beam to General Tire to Dixie Chopper to, I think there's 7 or 8 of them along through there. E3 Spark Plugs, I got to meet Steve Joyner yesterday. He's a really nice guy. He got to see his first late model dirt race at Brunswick yesterday, and, you know, unfortunately we didn't win. Earl won that, but you know, they're just building a great company is building a great series, and you know, along with all the other series, the Pro Pulling League that they have, and it's
all
just
the drags, the drag racing,
drag racing. Yeah, I mean, they've just done it the right way, and you know, you look at the people, Forrest, Lucas, Bob Pattison, and everybody that runs it on down the line to Richie Lewis and Rick Schwally. You know, it's a very professionally run organization. You know, when you go to the racetrack, you're going to be treated right, and they just do a great job, and that's why I've been on this deal for 3 years. Is, you know, I know where I want to be, you know, and we've raced it 3 years. I think we've been one team that hasn't missed one race in 3 years.
Well, let me tell you, Billy and I feel like we kind of know you. I mean, seeing you so much during the Dirt Car Nationals every night, making the programs and just running as well as you do at Volusia. But kind of a personal question, where did the Silver Shark come from, James Scott?
You know, everybody's got their thing that they got names and this and that, and I just decided that one day I was going to put some Silver Sharks down the bottom doors and quarter panels of my car, and you know, obviously everybody's goal in racing is to win races or win a series and, you know, maybe dominate. And I was like, well, you know, the shark is the dominant species of the ocean.
That's right. That's right. So, no doubt, man.
I said, well, maybe, you know, I was just, you know, I didn't know it was going to stick, but that's just what I got.
Oh, it stuck.
And it came, and people started calling me the Silver Shark, so we just kind of let it go. And from there, it's just been a pretty neat deal.
Yeah.
And we sold a lot of stuff, and it, you know, everybody calls me Shark. So it's
you know,
cool.
When I see that 83, that's what I think. I really do, man. I see Powell Motorsports, and there's the Silver Shark.
Yeah. I remember not this past year. It might have been this past year before. I was calling you the Mad Shark because you was mad at Dirt Car Nationals.
Yeah,
and
no.
You was upset. Got out your car, and I was like, I never seen him like this before. I said, and I got on the radio and told somebody. I said, the shark's mad.
Yeah.
Well, I think you know sometimes you know when you put guys in race cars that got a lot of adrenaline and things happen. You know. Things,
oh, I know.
Sometimes it's hard to keep your cool. You know, and that's what keeps you know it gets the sport. What it is, you know, sometimes you got to have a little controversy to have a little good time. So, and you know, not that we like all the drama, but that's part of racing, you know.
Now, I'm big into these ADC diecast cars. Are you going to do a new one soon or no?
We're thinking about doing one. You know, I've got some family people that have had, you know, been stricken with some cancer and stuff, and I thought about maybe for the World 100, if things work out, is doing a silver car with some pink on it for breast cancer research, and thought about doing a diecast car like that. And
nice.
Donating all
hey,
the
bud,
proceeds
I,
to,
I'm with you on that deal. No, my mom had breast cancer. She's
we're
a breast cancer survivor. So
any proceeds, any profit on that would go straight to the, you know, breast cancer research. So, you know, that's the plan right now. It's not written in stone, but that's one thing that I've always wanted to do is
that'd
you know,
be neat, man.
To give back to a lot of, because I've, you know, not only there, you know, there's just a lot of people that I know have been stricken with it, and I feel like, you know, if we can give back anything, that's something that I would like to do.
My mom is, this past year, is twice survivor of breast cancer, both breasts.
Right.
So
right.
She's twice survivor, so I know what you're going, I know what people go through when it goes through that deal.
We're going to try to do it, so we're trying to put it all together, and we'll know here in the next couple months if it's going to happen or not. So
well, it'd be nice to go out there and win the World 100.
Well, that is a dream. We've been close before, so.
Yeah, man.
You know.
No doubt. Scott James out of Bright, Indiana, we just want to thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us tonight on Trackside tonight. Once again, congratulations on the Lucas Oil Late Model Dirt Series victory at Scriven Motor Speedway on Friday night. And we hopefully can call you in the future and perhaps make this a pretty common thing.
Sure, I hope so. I think we're back on track with winning, and sometimes winning breeds winning. So hopefully it works out.
Well, I will tell you, this has been the catalyst for many a late model driver. Not that you need this program to win, but I think good things are going to happen. It's just something about being on track side tonight. You watch, Scott.
Well, good. I hope so.
All right.
Thanks
Scott,
for having me on.
Scott James, it's our pleasure. Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.
The Silver Shark.
Excellent.
Huh?
Excellent. This guy's got it figured out.
Jaws is not safe because there's a silver shark.
Now, if we had if Mark Massey was on his game, he'd be playing the Jaws theme music right now.
Yeah, see?
Folks, we want you to stick around. Earl Pearson Jr. coming up, still trying to get a hold of Billy Moyer. More Trackside tonight, right after this.
Hi, I'm Amy with Elite Overhead Doors at 916 Highway 1 in Ormond Beach. In the business of selling, installing, and servicing garage doors and openers since 1989, we pride ourselves in outstanding customer service, answering our phones, and doing what we say we'll do. We do business the old-fashioned way, only asking for payment upon customer satisfaction and job completion. Offering options and spending time with our customers is our specialty, from custom wood doors to vinyl never-rust doors to your plain Jane, just please close up the opening doors. All doors are approved by the state of Florida for wind protection. Don't get caught with your doors down. Call me, I'm Amy, at Elite Overhead Doors today, 673-1313. That's Elite Overhead Doors, 673-1313.
Hi, I'm Arnold Palmer. You know, operating a successful business is a lot like playing golf. You need focus, dedication, passion, and a great caddy to shoulder the load. That's why I'm a client of Administaff. They manage HR burdens for America's best small businesses, providing administrative relief, big company benefits, reduced liabilities, and a systematic way to improve productivity.
That's right, Arnold. I'm Lori Booker, owner of CBR Public Relations here in Florida. We signed on with Administaff more than 10 years ago because I wanted better benefits for my employees. CBR Public Relations is in its 24th year, and I can honestly say that my company would not have grown without the benefit and benefits of Administaff.
To take a load off, talk to the pros at Administaff. Call 800-465-3800 or visit administaff.com. Small business is good for America. Administaff is good for small business.
For over a decade now, the folks at Spikes Athletic Footwear have been committed to the idea that personalized service still matters. Hi, I'm Greg Isley, owner-operator of Spikes Athletic Footwear, and I'm pleased to announce that thanks to our thousands of loyal customers, that pledge to handle our customers' needs on a one-at-a-time basis has been a success. Equipped with name brands like Asics, Brooks, New Balance, Mizuno, Saucony, just to name a few, our expert sales techs can match our clients' specific needs to the perfect shoe. If you're experiencing pain in the heel, arch, forefoot, or have special width needs, we can help. Our know-how and expansive inventory may well improve your quality of life. Come find out why area health professionals insist their patients and loved ones visit Spikes Athletic Footwear. That's Spikes Athletic Footwear, 1237 Ridgewood Avenue, Holly Hill, or call us at 677-2494.
Fretwell Homes introduces the Gardens at Addison, luxury Ormond Beach townhomes with only 6 units per building. Homes are larger than others with same price range. Gardens of Addison townhomes are built to withstand Florida's extreme weather with two-story concrete block construction and impact-resistant windows. Visit us in our exciting location at US 1 in Ormond Beach or call 386-852-1730. Check us out at fretwellhomes.com. That's FRETWELL homes.com. We build better, you live better. Certification number CGC 1506824.
Call Trackside tonight at 239-0033, star 1150, or toll free at 1-800-927-0033. And now back to Trackside tonight with Randy, Joe, and Billy.
Smith for Smithville, and we're winner of the Winter Nationals. You listen to Trackside tonight.
Billy Moyer told you what you're doing. Listen to Trackside tonight. My name is Joe Lineberrier, along with my good friend Billy Osburn, here on our Monday, April 7th edition of Central Florida's longest-running dirt motorsports talk show, Trackside Tonight. Call us, folks, at 386-239-0033 or a toll-free call for you at 1-800-927-0033 or AT&T wireless customers. That's an absolutely free call for you at Star 1150.
Supposed to have Mr. Smooth Billy
trying
Moyer.
To get it. Well, he's operating out of Batesville, Arkansas.
I mean, he's the hottest driver right now, and everybody wants to talk to him, and he wants to talk to us.
Picked up the win at Farmer City Speedway in the World of Outlaws, 9 victories in 2008.
Just got a hold of him. He says he's on the other line with another radio show.
Yeah, yeah.
Huh? What's wrong with this guy? There's only one radio show. That's us.
That's right, yeah.
Huh?
Now, he's operating on Central Time. That's our whole problem.
He better not be on there with Jack Smith.
Yeah. No, no. Jack will get him, too. Jack will get
we'll
him.
Jack up with that, man. Maybe we have him on Jack tomorrow night.
Well, Jack's taping it right now. I mean, this is live on realracingusa.com.
I know. I'm excited.
You know? And Jack will call me in the morning, and, you know, all is well. Man, I got a ticket today.
You did?
I haven't had a ticket since 2001.
Did you tell him you was the announcer at Volusia?
No. I was didn't want to get jacked up more than I already was.
Was it a trooper?
No, it was Orange County. Hey, hey, check this out. I'm going to work.
Orange County, he's probably coming to the race this Saturday, got rained out. He's mad
at me. Yeah, oh, yeah. I'm going to work. It's I'm going down Jetport.
Go ahead. Let's see what time it was first, because I know.
10 after 8.
No.
I'll show you the ticket. I'll show it to you. So listen, I'm
going. You
blowing,
don't go to 8
apparently,
I was going.
Man, you know that's BS. Apparently, I'm going 58 and a 40, okay? I found that out later.
You couldn't see it was 40.
I do it every day. It's a white expedition.
I bet you won't do it tomorrow.
Dude, no, sir. This was an OJ special on the side of the road. Man, I had no idea. I thought Al Callan could have been it. I mean, it was nothing. Had bumper stickers. I blew past him.
Boop.
He got behind me, man, woo-woo, lit me up, got out. I got my windows down. It's daylight. It's 10 after 8. You know, I'm going to work. Got my dress shirt on, you know. Buddy, he breaks out. Was, he breaks out the tent meter. Have you seen one of these?
Oh, yeah. They got me.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they got me.
Well, I need you to roll your windows down about halfway, sir. I said, yes, sir.
Is that what he gave you a ticket for?
Well, he told me the ticket was 58 and a 40. He said he could write that for $160 or something. Or $71 for the tent. I said, thank you, sir. He saw my CDL, yeah. Hazardous materials. Oh, that meant something to him, because I will drive a tanker into his house.
Hey.
Okay.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, let me tell you a little story.
I'm just kidding.
While we're on the stories, let me tell you a
but
story.
But I got a ticket for my tent. So
I got pulled over by a state trooper. We won't mention no names. I got pulled over by a state trooper to check my window tint. Needless to say, it was a trooper that worked at our racetrack.
That's happened to me.
And he wrote me a ticket.
No.
Needless to say,
Bill. Do you know who you were?
No, he did. He did the following week because I called up the racetrack. I said, "We got a trooper named so and so."
Oh my God!
Yes, we do. We'll take him off the list. So he didn't work for like a month.
Hold on, Rick. We're coming.
And then he was shut down off Dirt Car Nationals.
Oh my!
So that $80 ticket cost him, I figured up, about $2,300.
Just before the Dirt Car Nationals, apparently I was going 70 out on 40. Got pulled over, pulled into the track. It's my good friend. I won't mention any names. He looked at me, kind of just took his glasses off, and said, "Damn it, Joe, how can I make any money out here?"
I got pulled over in Port Orange one time from a friend of mine that I went to high school with, and.
You're lucky, right?
No, I got unlucky. I got a ticket.
You were very good friends in high school.
We turned this into a speeder show.
Yeah.
Who we got on there, Rick Ashelman?
My man, Rick. What's happening, buddy?
Billy Joe. Hey, I got to tell you guys, you didn't know that, Joe, when we came to Florida this year, Sandy got a ticket on our way over to your house.
I didn't know that. Was that in the Saturn, driving the car?
No, that was in the truck. We were driving over there, and she didn't have any matches, so I gave her my old lighter that I had from back in high school, but it needed fluid.
Okay.
So she pours the fluid in it. It gets all over her arm. She lit the cigarette. Her arm's on fire. She's got it out the window trying to put it out, and the cop pulls us over. Okay. Gives her a ticket for waving a firearm.
Very, very nice.
Rick, what? You're terrible.
Billy, and this is no joke. I'm going down the road. This was. Listen to me.
Wait.
Listen. No, you're going to. I'm going down the road. Rick, listen. And I'm behind what looks like one of the medical transport. It wasn't like a full-blown ambulance. The back door flew open, like a little tackle box flew out. I said, oh, my God, listen to me. I stopped. I opened it. Had a human toe in it.
Yeah, okay.
You're supposed to say, what'd you do then?
No.
What'd you do then?
Rick, I called a tow truck.
Right.
That's bad. What's going on, my man?
Now. No.
Yeah. We turned
a bad joke hour done now, guys?
Yeah. Well, that one I told you earlier today, that's a good one. I hope you get some mileage out of it.
A racing show, to a ticket show, and now to a joke show.
It's gone to the dogs, fellas.
Hey, listen, Scott James was an excellent interview, Rick. Thanks, man. He was real good.
Yeah, you know, second generation driver. He's a character in the pit area if you get to talk to him. But, you know, when he gives an interview, he's straight up, and he's pretty honest about it. And the best interview he gave was last year at Eldora when he didn't make the show, and he was disappointed. He's almost to tears out there on the stage because the guys that finished one spot out of transferring received a nice, nice gift from one of the sponsors at Eldora, and he accepted it graciously and, you know, apologized to his fans for not performing well enough to get in the show. He's a class act, but I tell you what, you rub him the wrong way, and he won't be afraid to take your fender off either.
You know, it seems like that, and we've seen stuff like that out of Scott, but, hey, that's just his passion. I wish you guys could land him in the world of Outlaws, but he's pretty happy with that Lucas deal, Rick.
Yeah, it's closer to his home. You know, he's able to not have to travel as much. And let's face it, you have got to be committed to go out on the road with us. And I'll tell you who's committed right now. I wish they'd commit him. Billy Moyer. He is killing everybody.
Yeah, just amazing. 9 victories thus far here in 2008 and currently leading your points.
Yeah, leading the points. He's won 3 of the 4 races, 3 in a row, which has only happened a couple other times in the 5-year history of the series. And, you know, there's no stopping him. But unfortunately, we may not see him this weekend. It all hinges on his father, Bill Sr., is possibly going to be a candidate for open heart surgery. And he's not sure that he's going to be able to make it. All depends what the doctors say this week. So we're wishing the whole Moyer family, you know, nothing but the best. And, you know, you hate to see that from one of the true supporters. Bill Moyer has been fielding cars as long as Billy has, if not longer. And, you know, it's one of the great guys in racing. You just don't want to see anything bad happen.
Yeah, there is no doubt. I certainly hope all the best for the entire Moyer family. Because, like you said, those guys, they've been truly committed to the world of outlaws and, of course, well, just late model racing. But Billy is on fire, and it will be unfortunate. But if, in fact, his dad has to undergo the open heart surgery, then, I mean, there's no other place where Billy will be. And you know Billy will be there.
Well, I'll tell you, you talk about great human interest stories in racing. We always talk about the guy that put the guy in the wall or the guy that swept $800,000 in 1 year. But you go back to last year, it was the National Dirt Late Model Hall of Fame induction. H.E. Vineyard out of Tennessee was being inducted into the Hall of Fame, you know, some 30 years of racing. His son, Mark Vineyard, was vying for the O'Reilly Southern All-Stars Championship. I mean, he was the point leader. And they had the induction ceremony at the North-South 100 at Florence. He gave up a Southern All-Star show to be there to see his dad inducted, and it literally cost him the championship. He lost it by 21 points.
I remember that.
I talked to him at Bulls Gap, Tennessee earlier this spring. He said, you know, I'd have done it 100 times over. You only have your dad inducted into the Hall of Fame once, and he said, I was glad I was there. And that's just class, total class.
Yeah, it really is. Well, take us through some of Billy's accomplishments. Farmer City, you guys making the Midwest swing this weekend, and just what happened out there.
Oh, my God. Moyer was fast out of the box. The track record was 12.438 around a quarter-mile track. He blistered it at 11.973, almost a half second quicker, Joe. And this track record lasted for a year and a half. He just went out there, and he was dialed in, and he nailed it. He come out in his heat, won that, and in the feature, we didn't think he was going to win it there for a while. He dropped back to fourth, started third, and all of a sudden, just like days of old, he flips the switch. Here he comes. Takes the lead, battles back and forth, and beats Fab by a foot.
Good Lord, man. He's on top of his game.
Yeah, he and Shannon Babb are the only two drivers to ever win World of Outlaws Late Model Series events at Farmer City. He's got two now, and Babb has one. So I'm telling you, those guys love that place.
Is Shannon in a victory circle as well still?
No, Shannon has got a Rocket and a Rayburn with the Clint Boyer and Boyer Dirt Motorsports. And, you know, it just depends what he brings out. He brought the Rayburn out, obviously, up there in UMP country. But,
right.
You know, he's been in the Rocket, too, so he dabbles back and forth. Eckert was in the Rayburn, his first time ever.
Really?
And he got a seventh-place finish over there. He's been in the GRT now for almost a year.
But, you know, he needs to do something like that. You know, he's been out of the
track,
Rocket.
Joe, you got to.
Yeah, you're right. And despite what Randy says, and we've argued before, you know, chassis means performance on a certain racetrack. I mean, that's all there is.
Oh, yeah.
Some racetracks demand a different chance.
There. Yeah. I'm telling you, you saw it. The Rockets were good. Josh Richards was real good. Lanigan was real good. But the Rayburns, they seemed to shine on those type of racetracks. It was a little rough. It was lightning fast. It was hooked up. And that's where Rayburn shines. Now, last year at the World 100, Joe, not one Rayburn out of 28 cars made that World 100 field.
Good Lord.
It was slick. It was a GRT track. It was a master.
I think he just got grabbed, alien grabbed, somewhere out there. He lives in Mississippi. Rick, you there? All right. He's gone, Mark. He is just gone. Put your headsets on. Hear that? No phone call. He's gone. Oh, everybody's gone. Here comes somebody. He's lighting it back up. Okay. Yeah, that's Rick. What happened, man?
Moyer just laughed me.
He's still racing. No,
you know, you guys already knew this, but most of the listening audience didn't know that he was leading the UMP points, the World of Outlaw points, and the Lucas points.
Yeah.
At one time, yeah.
Yep.
Early on. That's
scary.
Amazing.
I mean, you know, five times World 100. He's won the Show Me Topless. He's won the big ones. He's won the UMP Summer Nationals. What's left?
Yeah, what is left? He's got the World Outlaw Championship.
Yeah, he's got the Outlaws Championship. I'd say now it's all about the money and making chassis, and let's face it, he's 50. He's not going to race forever, so pick up as many wins right now as you can, and then start building chassis. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, nothing at all. And I think he's in a real good position to do that. But, man, you know he's just having a good time out there each time he straps into that thing.
Joe, he used to come to the track and he'd be upset or he'd be concerned or worried. He comes there smiling now, and that's a totally different Billy Moyer. He's loose. He's all calm, collected. But he's hammered down. I mean, he looks like he did 20 years ago, and that is scaring a lot of people.
That is scary.
Fire. It really is. Yeah. Where are you guys heading off? Go ahead.
He's going to have one of them Bloomquist years, and you hate to say it, but it could happen. He's won over $150,000 just in winnings, not second, third, tenth, whatever. And if he comes to Virginia Motor Speedway Friday night, everybody's going to be looking at that red trailer when it comes through the pits.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Rick, where are you guys heading off to next?
We'll be at Virginia Motor Speedway Friday night, and then Tuesday, April 15th, over at Lernerville Speedway, and then we wrap up this trip on Friday and Saturday, April 19th and 18th, over at Charlotte at the dirt track at Lowe's for the Colossal. Bloomquist, undefeated in the Colossal. If Moyer is there, which he's already pre-entered, that ought to be interesting.
That weather isn't looking too good for you guys this weekend, though.
Yeah, you know, every time we go to, seems to be Farmer City, Virginia, and Lernerville early, weather seems to follow us over there. Somehow we get them in. We got them both in last year, and we're just hoping that maybe it'll change.
Good deal. Rick Eschman, thank you so much for updating us on the 2008 World of Outlaws Late Model Series. And, of course, still going to try to get Billy Moyer. Right now we got our good friend, the Hurricane, out of Jacksonville on the line, Earl Pearson, Jr. But, Rick Eschman, thank you so much.
All right, Joe, I'm going to go run a batch of statistics for you.
Okay, buddy. See you later. Oh, my. Now, ladies and gentlemen, in the Bobby Labonte Motorsports, number 44, here's the Lucas Oil Lifelong Locks Masters-built Mopar Pilot out of Jacksonville. He's checked in with us before, and we thank him again for joining us, Earl Pearson, Jr. Earl, what is up, my man?
How's it going tonight?
All right, buddy. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes and joining us here in Daytona Beach on trackside tonight. Of course, big weekend for you. Your winning ways continuing. But, of course, Billy and I, the last time I saw you was in February in Turn 3. How you feeling, man?
Well,
I know you want to forget about it.
Well, I mean, it was – luckily, you know, I don't even remember. I got knocked out, I guess, after the first roll. And, you know, I just kind of, you know – the safety issue has gone a long way as far as Bobby Labonte Motorsports. We got the Hans device now.
Right.
Got new seats, got new seat belts, new helmets. I mean, Masterbuilt's doing some changes to the chassis. So, you know, it's definitely going in the right direction as far as that. But, you know, as far as the wreck, it's over and done with. I was sore for quite a while after that. But over it, ready to go, and don't really – want to look back to it, you know, just kind of do my own thing and go out and try to win races.
Understand that. And, of course, that's exactly what you're able to accomplish yesterday. Of course, a long weekend for the Lucas Oil Series. You were on board Friday night at Screven Motor Speedway. We've already talked to Scott James tonight. But then again, Saturday rained out up in Brunswick, but you hung around on Sunday and were able to prevail. So take us through some of that, Earl. How was the weekend overall for you?
Well, it was good, you know. It was kind of rainy off and on, and we went over to Swainsboro, and we didn't qualify too good there, and we started 15th and drove away up to a fourth-place finish, you know, in 30 laps. It was a 7,000-win race, so we only run 30 laps. And had a good finish there, and went over to Screven, and first time being in that place.
Same for Scott.
What's that?
Same for Scott James. You guys are both first-timers.
Oh, yeah, it's quite, you know, a little bit different, you know, racing facility we've ever been to. I mean, mm-hmm. The track was a little bit different than what we're used to, a lot of loose sand on it, but it was a heck of a race. It turned out really good. And, you know, we was running fourth there and looking to have a good top five finish, and we broke something on the rear end and broke the J-bar and broke the dry shaft and everything, you know, so it just turned out to be a bad night there, and we wound up 15th there, and then we come down to Brunswick and it rained out, of course, Saturday, and had to start, you know, 3:30 Sunday. We really didn't know what to expect, you know. And dirt racing, if you start during the daytime, it usually ain't too good. But what they did was probably a smart thing. They let us hot lap and qualify and shut everything down until it got, you know, a little bit later in the afternoon. And the track was in good shape, and we started seventh on that deal. And, you know, on the last lap, we passed Scott for the win. So all in all, we had a good weekend, you know, other than that DNF, but hey, That's why they call it race now.
That's right. Earl, take us through that. You talked about, Blomqvist leading every lap except the last one. They say you were up on the outside with about five to go and just on your way, man. And just take us through that. Did you realize at that point, I mean, was there a restart or what had gotten into this 44 car and what started happening with you mentally to see when you had this opportunity? Kind of take us through those final laps.
Well, I mean, when we started off the race, you know, my car wasn't quite where I needed it to be. You know, it was a little bit loose to be running around the bottom, and, the front guys kind of got away from me. So I started moving around, and luckily I found me a line that kind of helped me out, and I think there was Bart Hartman, they said, was behind me, and he found a line, and we kind of just made our own line. We blew the top of the racetrack off, and I will say we got a – and on the first caution, they double file us. You know,
right,
out front, and, from that point on back, it's double file. And we started on the bottom, and, it took me a little while to get back up to my groove, and was just maintaining fourth there. Wasn't really doing nothing really great, and had one more caution, and that put me on the outside of the double file deal, and got by my ex-crew chief, Jason Fitzgerald, on the high side.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he done an outstanding job all week. But, the car just come in. I mean, the track was getting better and better for us up top, and the track was slowing down on the bottom because everybody was running the bottom. And, when you're out front like Scott was, you don't really know which way to go because we don't have radios.
Right.
And, Case Bolt was all over him, up under him, and Scott was just trying to protect the bottom. And I think two to go, I got by Case Bolt, and – the track was getting better and better. I just almost could hold my car wide open. And,
wow.
Scott was protecting that bottom on the last lap, and we drove up beside him and drove by him on the back straightaway.
You've had a good bit of success at Brunswick at Golden Isle Speedway, but this being the first Lucas Oil race at Golden Isle Speedway, tell me what it's like to win the first Lucas Oil race at a place that I like to call your home track.
Well, I mean, it was good. My entire family's there. My kids are there. A lot of friends from way back when, even back here at Jack's Raceway,
right.
All that's closed down now, so all them people go up there now. And, I mean, there was just
It's rural country
people.
Right there.
Yeah, it is rural country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I cross the checker flag line there, yeah, I mean, just look up at the grandstands. I mean, it's like everybody in the place is standing up and cheering, so. It just feels good, when you get to home place like that and can win the race on the last lap. And, there were so many people excited about it. So, it was good for me and my crew, to be able to do that. And, it puts us on another level. So the next race we go to, we're, should be in good shape, I hope, anyway. At least we'll be excited to go anyway.
That's the first time Friday night and Saturday night, or Friday night, actually, I got rained out Saturday and came home, but Friday night was the first time for me ever to be part of a Lucas Oil deal, and they run a good show, and I can see why you're following that series. And are you going to – I'm sure you're going to follow the rest of the year.
Yes. I mean, of course, we're sponsored by Lucas Oil, and
right.
We got a good sponsor, Life on Lux. And me and Forrest and Lucas have been friends for many, many years, and, he's asked me a lot of questions on this, that, and, personnel, and it took him a little while to get where he needed to be, but he's got great people running the show. And, of course, I'm sure you could see that. And it's a tight show. I mean, they don't waste no time. They get on with the program. And that's good for the racer, last night.
Right.
All these people, which I'm close to home, but a lot of these guys ain't.
Right.
Yeah.
So we got to get on with the show so then people can get home. And that's what they do. They when he says 10 minutes to be on the grid, if you're not there in 10 minutes, you start on the tail whenever you come back.
That's it. Earl, we got about a minute to go, man, but, we'd certainly want to thank you for your time here tonight, to Larry Wallace.
We know it's tough for you tonight because we know it's your little boy's birthday, and we kind of waited till late to give you a call, and we just wanted to touch on your big win yesterday. And all I want to say is keep the pedal down, bud.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and anytime, just give me a call.
Thank you so much, Earl. That's why we love you, buddy. Earl Pearson, Jr. out of Jacksonville, the Bobby Labonte Motorsports number 44. It is the Lucas Oil Lifelong Locks Masters Built Mopar.
Man, we could talk to that guy for more than 15, 20 minutes.
No doubt, man.
When I talked to him this afternoon, he said it's my little boy's birthday, so we didn't want to tie him up too much. They were doing something between 8 and 9. And
yeah, Earl's awesome.
Just for him to take a few minutes out of his time.
And when we go approach him personally at Volusia or wherever we are, man, he stops what he's doing. I mean, he'll be elbows deep into that engine compartment.
When Earl took his tumble at Volusia on Saturday night, the last night we ran, I called Earl's on Monday, and Earl told me today I was one of about 40 people that called and left message, and he didn't check his messages for a couple of weeks. But, you know, Earl's a good guy, and he's a local, a hometown, home state guy, and he's really good.
Welcome back, my man.
Oh, man, no problem.
Certainly glad to have you back. We want to thank Gene for calling tonight. Jimmy Jeep, of course, Scott James, Rick Eshelman, and Earl Pearson,
we will get Mr. Smooth.
Yeah, that'll happen next Monday night. Don't worry, folks. Hang in there. But it was a big night for us. We want to thank everybody involved with Trackside tonight for Billy Osper and Randy Dye. Billy, take us home.
Good night, everybody.